Gorgeous day we have been blessed with today. Yes, mothers, we do appreciate you, and we hope that you feel the love of God today in a special way. You know, last week was another good week for us. We want to celebrate with one of our new members here today, so I'm going to ask Carrie to stand up. And she was baptized on Thursday of last week, so she's our new sister in Christ. Please welcome her to the family. All right. Before we get into the lesson this morning, and you might want to have your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 2, where we'll be reading from this morning, and there's also an outline in your bulletin, there's a sermon outline there. But I'd also like to just, by way of announcement, invite you to a very special meeting that we're going to be having this Saturday at the Montezuma Church of Christ. The address is in the church bulletin there. We are having a Soul Winners Workshop, and this is an opportunity for you to be able to come and learn hands-on how to talk to your friends and your family about Jesus and the gospel so that you can bring them to heaven with you one day. So we want to encourage you to take part of that particular workshop. Again, this Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be a free lunch provided. And as far as I understand, the church there at the Montezuma Church in Phoenix is only about 30 minutes from the building here. So please come and join us. Enjoy the fellowship. I'm sure that you have some friends and family that you're saying, I just don't know how to get started in on a gospel discussion. I don't know how to talk to them about my faith and about my precious Lord. Please come. You'll learn a very easy, practical, down-to-earth, non-threatening approach that you can use talking to your friends and family about Jesus. So I think you'll be excited to learn that as we grow together in our ability to win our family to Christ. Well, we're going to go ahead now and look at Exodus chapter 2. On Mother's and Father's Days, ministers like to preach a very special message. And so it's interesting that on Mother's Day, we usually remind the women of what a great job that they're doing and how good and how appreciative we should be about our mothers. And then on Father's Day, we usually tell the dads how to be a better dad. Isn't that something? The assumption seems to be that mothers are already doing a near perfect job, and the dads out there need a good scolding every year. But today, as your preacher, I'm not going to do any scolding for women or men. We're just going to look at some verses today and talk about how we can, together as a team, raise our children to the glory of God. First of all, let me say that mothers, you have one of the most two difficult jobs in the world. The other, of course, is managing the Chicago Cubs. But the other one is being a father. It's a difficult job to be a father as well. And the real challenge really is working together as a team to be the kind of parents that will honor our God by teaching our children how to honor and respect God. But being a mother in itself is not an easy job. It's really not a job for the faint of heart. It requires some tough decisions, decisions that are sometimes risky and decisions that are very heart-wrenching for mothers to make. So what I want to do today is give mothers some help from God's Word as we consider how really all of us can be better people all around, but in particular, be better parents. So we're going to use the story of Moses' mom. I did this on some others earlier the week. I said, well, you know, there's only one place in Scripture that I'm aware of that gives us the name of Moses' mom. And it won't be in our text today in Exodus chapter 2. I believe it's over in Exodus chapter 6. We learned that Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. And of course, the side question to that, well, what was his father's name? Anyone know? No one knows. Amram and Jochebed. Those two names seem to just go together. So we're going to talk about Jochebed this morning. We won't learn much about Amram because the father, he's not really mentioned at all in Exodus chapter 2. But anyway, let's look at the setting and learn how we can be the best kind of parents possible for the Lord. At this time, Moses was born during a period in Egypt's history that was a very dangerous time to be a Hebrew, and in particular to be a Hebrew newborn child. The Israelites were slaves of the Egyptians, to the Egyptians, and the Egyptian king at this time was afraid of the Israelites because their population was becoming too large. They were becoming a significant a part of his domain, his area, and so the Egyptian king was very worried about that. He was having a hard time keeping his thumb on God's people, and so he ordered that all the newborn babies be drowned in the Nile River. We don't know how many babies suffered this fate, but we know that one of them didn't, and that was because he happened to be the son of a very smart woman, a very smart mother. What I'd like for us to do to see in this story is three things that Moses' mom did as a mother, and then we'll consider how we can do the very same today for our children in our culture today. The mother of Moses was obviously in the midst of a crisis. She didn't want her newborn baby to be murdered by the Egyptians. She was backed into a corner, and she was actually faced with the question that many mothers are faced with today, and that is, what's a mother to do? In her situation, how would she react? Would she react in fear, or would she react in faith? Would she be the type of mother that would react in a way that would honor God, or instead shrink in fear and dishonor God? What could she do, and what can mothers do with our children today? Well, first of all, mothers, as you'll see here on our outline, you need to do whatever you can in your life to protect your children. I know that's a responsibility for fathers as well, but mothers seem to be very near to that, and very dear to that that aspect of protecting their children. And we're going to talk about how Moses' mom did that. Secondly, we're also going to say that if you're going to be a good mother, you need to put in place a good plan of action for your children. A plan, develop a plan for them. And thirdly, then you also, as Moses' mom did, you need to provide them with a sense of destiny. So let's look at each of these this morning. The first one, we need to do, as parents, especially mothers, do whatever we can to protect our children. In Exodus chapter 2, let's read it together. Beginning at verse 1, the text says this. There was a man of the house of Levi, and he went and took a wife as daughter, as a wife, a daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived, and she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, this is all that we know right here about Moses' father. It may be that this was the extent of his involvement in his son's life. I don't know why he didn't take action, as his mother did, to protect his son from imminent danger as it was looming on the horizon. But whatever the case is, it seems from the text that the father did nothing. Maybe that's why, again, as I said earlier, preachers hammer the fathers during Father's Day. But the case here is simply, he doesn't seem to be a part of the equation at all. Moses' mother, however, could not allow herself to stand by and have her son murdered by the authorities. And so it says here that when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. She put her life at risk right here just to keep Moses alive for maybe just a few months. At that point, she didn't know what would happen next. She simply had hopes that she could somehow keep her precious baby alive. I don't get the impression that she knew exactly what was going to happen beyond this. She's thinking for the moment, this is a moment of crisis, I've got to do something now, and that is what she's focused in on. All she could do was hide him in her home for now. But you know, for now, this was enough. This was enough for the situation at hand. And mothers, I'm telling you this, that even if your husband, the father of your children, if they remain uninvolved due to being lazy, due to maybe a divorce, due to the fact that maybe they're a workaholic, they're always working outside of the home, or maybe they're just too pig-headed to take on their role as a dad seriously, then you must do, mothers, whatever you can within your power to protect your children. It's God's plan that mothers and fathers would work together as a team. That's the way God wants it to work. But as you very well know, mothers, it doesn't always work out that way. I'm sure there are plenty of adult children here who know exactly what I'm talking about as they think back on their father's involvement in the home. Mothers, often you have to act as if it depends all on you. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is. So do what you can to protect your children. Just like in the days of Moses, we live in a day and age where every one of us should realize that it is very dangerous to be a child in our culture today. Our society today is not kid-friendly, and it is certainly not Christian kid-friendly. The values that they are taught in music, in TV, on the movies, and popular culture go against the grain of what we as parents want for our children. Our public school system and our peers for our children that influence our children today are very toxic. Childhood influences today do not have your child's best interest in mind at all. The devil is very active in our culture today. Amen? Childhood influences today do not have your child's best interest in mind. So it's up to you then, as it was right here with Moses' mom, to do whatever you can, to stand in the balance, to stand in the gap, and do whatever you can in a society that is quickly trying to pull your children away to keep them near to you and teach them godly values. Values that will go against the culture of our time today. Several years ago, Carol O'Connor, some of you will know him as Archie Bunker, he lost his son to a drug overdose. And he began telling parents everywhere, he said, do whatever you have to do to get between your child and drugs. And he was very serious about that. I'm telling you the very same thing today. Get between your child and all the worldly influences that are out there. You might be accused, mothers, of being, as some would say, overprotective, of trying to shelter them too much and not allowing them to experience the world. And listen, if that's the case, let people shake their heads. I don't care what they think. You care what God thinks, amen? You want them to be protected by God. And if it looks weird to the world, if it looks odd and it looks silly and you're overprotective, then be the overprotective parent that God wants you to be. We chose, in our case, to homeschool our kids. I wouldn't recommend that for everybody, but we chose to homeschool our kids, and we did some other quirky things as parents that made us look a little odd, but we didn't care what the world thought. We chose to raise our kids in a different way because we live in a very a world today that we don't want them to be like the world. What's more important today? That your children have the nice fad clothes and all the, and they look cool among the world and end up in hell? Or they look like oddballs and they end up in heaven? You know what you want for your child. Do what you can to protect your children. And then as we look at Moses' mom, Jochebed, a second thing I can learn from our text right here in Exodus chapter 2 is that as a mother, you need to do what you can to develop a good plan for your children. Clearly, Moses' mom did not have very many options in her situation. She couldn't leave with her son and go and find a new place. She was a slave there along with the other Hebrew slaves. She had to stay there. She was trapped. And I'm sure that she felt very desperate in her situation. But when she could hide him no longer, the Bible tells us that she did what she could. She wrapped him in a waterproof basket and she placed him right out there in the Nile River, in the reeds of the Nile River. I don't know what was the rest of her plan. There probably was not a rest of her plan. What was her plan? We don't know for sure what she had in mind, but you got to believe that she was coming up with a plan, but she did what she could for the moment. Notice what it says here in our text in chapter 2, verse 5. It says, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Verse 6 says, and when she opened it up, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. So here is where the plan begins to seem a little bit more brilliant and less desperate. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that Moses' sister was watching from a distance. She had an eye. She was like a spy, almost like hired by the mom to sit and watch what would happen to the child. And when Pharaoh's daughter found the child, Moses' sister was ready to step in and make a suggestion. Verse 7 says that then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? It was Moses' mom who had stood by the reeds, watching and waiting. It would have been obvious if that she was doing that, so she had her daughter. This young sister made a good spy, and when the baby was discovered, his sister offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse her, and now the plan was beginning to take shape. The plan initially was to just get the child a few more months to live. That's all she had in mind initially. But now her plan developed into something that was more long-term. And you need to realize that she took a tremendous risk in putting this plan into action. Because had her scheme been uncovered, she would have certainly been put to death by the Egyptian king. But she considered it worth the risk. Her son meant that much to her. That's how she felt about the situation. And most of us know, though, that God was on this plan all along to save Moses' life. And that mothers, if you come up with a plan for your children, and maybe you're saying, I don't know, I mean, you know, who starts out as a brand new mother knowing everything they need to do to take care of their children? Maybe you're saying, I don't know long term but I know what I can do right now while they're in diapers. I know what I can do until I get them walking, and I know once they're walking and they're getting into everything, I can know how to keep them out of everything. And the plan, you see, begins to develop. But you need to at least have a plan for the short term that eventually works into the long term. And so that's what Moses' mother was doing. If you come up with a plan for your children, God will help you just like He helped Jochebed in this case. I'm amazed at the number of parents today that sometimes I'm watching them. I could be wrong, but sometimes I watch parents and you know how we are, those of us that have already raised up our kids and we're watching little children with their families out at a restaurant and they're just going running all over the place, you know. I'm sometimes wondering, saying to myself, I want to be gracious, I want to be compassionate, but it looks like this parent has no plan at all. And I'm amazed when I see that. It just really causes me to scratch my head and hurt in my heart to think that some have no plan, it would seem, at all. They don't think about the steps that they need to help their children develop. They don't think about the consequences of whatever parenting style, if any, that they are employing with their children. They just kind of go with the flow. They just kind of let the chips where they fall, and they really don't have a plan. Mothers, this is the kind of strategy that will not work at all. Imagine this. You are throwing an amazing dinner one night, and you invite some of your most important friends and family to come, maybe just about less than a dozen. And they're going to come over to your house, and boy, I know mothers, you got that house looking just like it came out of a magazine, and everything is prim and proper, and you've even got this great recipe that you've been using over the years that is fantastic. It always works. And so you're beginning to put together the food that you're making, and the recipe calls for half a cup of flour. And so you carefully, man, you're just really on that, making sure it's exactly half a cup. You don't take a pinch, man. It's exactly half. And if it calls for butter, real butter, man, you don't come out with, I think it's butter, or what's that brand? I can't think of it right now. But anyway, you don't come out with some kind of, I can't believe it's not butter, or any other kind. You make sure you get real butter. You follow that plan to the T, because you want to impress. But listen, mothers and fathers, you've got a Heavenly Father that you're impressing with every little detail of how you raise your children. And are you going to follow God's plan? Or maybe there's something in God's plan, in His recipe, a little detail that you say, well, you know, that doesn't seem to work in our society today. I'll just leave that out of the recipe. You're going to mess up the dish. It's not going to be right. And some of you might be saying, well, what little detail could you be talking about, Brother Rowe? Well, I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 that says, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You will deliver his soul from hell. That's in God's recipe. I didn't make that up. I know that goes against the grain of our society that says, oh, no, you just give him a little time out, let Johnny stand over in the corner, and maybe that works on some occasions. But God said, do not withhold correction from your child. If you beat him with a rod, and I'm not talking about where you leave marks and all that, but if you let him feel it a little bit, it says you're going to save, he'll not die, and you'll save his soul from hell. That's in God's plan. Parents don't want to hear that sometimes. They got a different plan, and let them go with it. It's not going to work. That's in God's plan. Raising your family is important. There are things that you have to follow. Children are too precious to leave your parenting style up to choice. You need to develop a solid plan for raising your children, a plan that God has given you in His Word. Let's go on to our third thing this morning. We're talking about mothers that are sometimes, as they watch their children and they watch their families, they're scratching their heads and saying, what's a mother to do? First of all, make sure that you protect your children. Secondly, make sure that you develop a plan, maybe just for the short term, that will build into God's plan as you're following His Word. Come up with a plan. And then thirdly, what you need to do for your children. What can a mother do? Do what you can to instill within them a sense of destiny. Every mother's fear is, of course, losing one of her own children. And Moses' mother was at risk of losing her son to a very violent death. She was also at risk of losing him to the person who found him in the reeds as she put him out on that little boat out in the Nile River. She had a plan, but she needed God's intervention to make that plan work. Mothers, so do you. You need God's help in raising your children. You can't take care of your children without God's help. You don't have enough money or enough time or enough wisdom on your own to get this job done. You need God to intervene in the life of your child in order for your child to grow up securely and safely in our world today. The good news is that God wants you to be involved with your child in his life, his or her life, more than you can ever realize. And he hopefully will get some help from your husband, the father, as well. When Moses' sister, in this case, offered to find a Hebrew woman who could nurse the baby, Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go. Go find that woman. And after that, notice what happens in chapter 2 now. At verse 8, it says, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And so the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So Moses' mother had a plan to keep Moses alive and to keep him in her arms for maybe another 2 or 3 more years, whatever the case would be. But there is a difficult part to this story, because at some point she realized that she would still have to let go of her son and give her son over to the care of Pharaoh's daughter. No doubt this was very hard to do, but not nearly as hard as it would have been to see him drown in the Nile or be cut by a sword as the Egyptian soldiers would come in and take the life of her child. Now, some believe that Moses' mother was hired as a nanny and lived in the house of Pharaoh. The scriptures don't say that, but it's possible that could have happened. But in any case, somewhere along the line, Moses, as he was growing up, he would learn about his identity and learn about his destiny. Someone was there to remind this little boy Moses, as he was growing up, that even though he was being raised in Pharaoh's house, he was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was one of God's children. Someone taught him along the way about the true and living God. Someone taught him about Jehovah God amongst all these Egyptian gods. And when Moses became a young man, then you'll know in the story that Moses was ready to fulfill his destiny. But God was the one who returned Moses to his mother so that she could nurse him and care for him as a mother should. How long this time was, for many years or few, we do not know. But it was long enough to shape Moses' character. Her very limited time of holding that baby, cuddling that child, helping the child to grow and possibly walk and do other things, that was instrumental. That had a tremendous impact on Moses' life. God's hand was on Moses, and he protected Moses every step of the way. And mothers, God's hand can be on your child today as well, if you invite God's presence into your life and the life of your family. Moms, I want you to understand this today. Do not underestimate the power that you have, not only with your children, but even with your husband. You have power in your family. Someone once said, men are what their mothers make them. And it was Abraham Lincoln who said, all that I am, I owe to my mother. And so, mothers, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity of a lifetime to influence your children for a lifetime. So, mothers, do what you can. Shape your children. Shape them into the greatness that God wants them to have in their lives. And ultimately, shape them into the people who will one day have heaven as their home. Do what you can to instill within them a sense of destiny. Well, today's text doesn't tell us what the name of Moses' mom was. We later find out it's Jochebed. But it does tell us what she was able to accomplish. And so we find in the story, in her moment of crisis, when the life of her child was threatened, she answers the question, what's a mother to do? She did what she could to protect her child. She was able to protect him because she had a plan for Moses' life. And she did what she could to instill within that little boy a sense of destiny. Let me also say, mothers, don't try to be a mother without God's help. Now, from society, it might seem like an okay idea. It might seem like if you just listen to Cosmopolitan or whatever other magazines that are out there that give advice, and those things sometimes have some good advice in them. But ultimately, you need God's Word in your heart, and God's Word in your mind, and God's Word on your lips, so you can give it to your children and raise them up to the glory of God. You're going to need God's help every step of the way. We all need God's help, whether we're mothers or fathers or just anybody in life. We need God's help. Heaven is the goal in all that we do. And here's the thing. Jesus makes that goal attainable. He made heaven attainable through the cross that He bore, the cross that He died on, the place where He gave His life for you. And as we close this morning, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. People make sacrifices. Mothers make great sacrifices today. Jesus gave up His only life. God gave up the life of His Son. That's how much He loves us, that He sent Jesus to die for us so we could have eternal life. And so as we close our services today, we want to extend an invitation. And if you're here today, maybe you are in a position like Carrie was on Thursday night, and she was looking for a relationship with God. And you're here today saying, boy, it's not what it needs to be, and I know that I need to know Jesus and know His plan for me. And if you'll be willing to listen and learn and understand that plan as Carrie did on Thursday night, and understand the great love that Jesus has for us and how He wants us to come to Him for salvation, then you'll understand that this Jesus is too good to not believe in what He did for us. And when you believe that He's God's Son and believe that He provided salvation, if you would do just as Carrie did on Thursday night, just repent of your sins today and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, those sins can be washed away. You can enter into a relationship with God and have heaven as your home. As we close our services tonight, today, if you're willing to come to Jesus for salvation, would you come as we stand to sing?